John chapter 20. John chapter 20, give you a little bit of time to get right there in place. And find your place there. John chapter 20. I'm too loud. Thank you very much. Turn me down. It's echoing. It's too loud. John 20, verse 19. And the Bible says, in the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again tonight, and thank you for those here assembled. And I pray for your presence, Lord, that you speak to us, meet with us, Lord. We want to hear from you tonight, Lord. We just need you above all things, and so meet every need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Out of position. The disciples, of course, it says, then the same day, that's the same day that Jesus resurrected. It was the same Sunday, the resurrection Sunday, a little bit later in the evening. By now, Jesus had been seen by many people, including Mary, a couple of other women, Peter, John, the Emmaus Road disciples, who actually were present in this meeting. They had gone back to Jerusalem now, and they had all got together. So the word, get that, the word of his resurrection had spread and was being spread at that very moment all around the city of Jerusalem. Probably the saved people were hearing it, the lost people were hearing the word. And so what did they do? They had church. I mean, that's what they did. They found out about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nobody said, hey, we got a service at 7 o'clock or 6:30 or whenever they were going to have it. It's just that they found out about the resurrection. They ran, they got together with each other, and they had church. And actually, that's why we have church, is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know something. They didn't have a lot of what we've got going on today. And I know, there's two sides to this coin right here. We're dealing with our music program. We don't have a piano player, and we're trying to have get it a little more upbeat. And some of those CDs, I know the tapes we got, when you got a piano player, you can kind of, get them to crank it up a little bit. But when you got a CD, you got what you got. That's just the way it is. But I want to tell you something. At early church, I doubt very seriously whether they had a piano player either. When you get right down to it, they didn't have a song leader. They didn't have a nursery worker. They didn't have junior church. They didn't have none of that. They just all got together. I'll tell you what they did have. They had Jesus in the midst, and that's all you really got to have. And so I think sometimes, I'd like to have all those things, but we get so caught up that we don't have that, that we're not worried about the fact that we may not have Jesus showing up at the service either. So did I tell you that joke about that? About the fella that went to the church and Let's see if I can get it straight now. The fellow went, it was a person went to the church and they weren't too clean and they went in there and the preacher came up and said, "Hey, look, what are you doing here? You know, you're not really dressed for a church. And so you go back and I want you to pray to God about it." And they went back and the next week they came back and they said, "Well, hey, you said, you know, you're still not, you're not dressed right. You don't look right. You know, you don't smell right." Said, I want you to go back and I want you to pray about it. And then that person, they quit coming. And they didn't come for a while. And one day the preacher was out having dinner, had his wife and some people. They was out at a restaurant and they saw that same person was a waiter, waitress, whatever they were, waiting on tables. And they said, "Hey," they said, how you doing? Said, "We hadn't seen you there at church for a little while." And they said, "Yeah," they said, "That's right. You told me to go back and pray about it." I went back and prayed about it. And I was telling God, I said, "Lord, you know, that church down there, they won't let me in." And the Lord told me, he said, "Don't worry about it. They won't let me in either." So, you know, that's about the size of it a lot of times. So, I mean, they didn't have all the other things. The other things are just icing on the cake. But, you know, we got to have church because of the resurrection. That's really all we really need above all things. You know, I think the other things are good to have, but we don't have to have them. And, you know, thank God for that. Amen. I was telling Randy, I said, "Well, we didn't have no special singing this morning, and we don't have no special singing tonight. I know we could have special singing if some people would go ahead and give it up and go ahead and put the effort in, put the work in, and get some people to sing with them, and we could have it. I'd like to have it, but we don't have to have it." But, you know, like I say, it's a two-sided coin. We could go both ways with that. I could probably make an argument either way for that. But you know what happens was they were excited about the resurrection news. Man, I can imagine that was a great church service. Man, you got in there and you found out the Lord had risen and some of the people had seen him. Probably most of the people that were in the meeting right there, they had seen the resurrected Lord. I mean, man, can you imagine? Man, I mean, what would you know? You couldn't get them shut up during fellowship time, kind of like our church. You couldn't get them stocked because all their time, man, you believe it? Man, I saw Jesus, man. He was standing right there and he was talking to me. And the Emmaus Road disciples are saying, "Man, we were walking down the road just, you know, all depressed and everything. And next thing you know, the Lord was there talking to us. And man, now here we are." And everybody else and Mary said, "Well, I was down there at the tomb, boy, and he called me by name. And there he was, and I mean, woo-hoo, man, we thought he was dead, man, and I don't know what's all this mean? I don't know, but boy, it sure is cool," and they're all excited about that. You imagine that? I mean, it's the same resurrection that we celebrate today. And so they really got to share, like I said this morning, what they saw, what they heard, and, you know, what they knew, the knowledge that they had. They were excited about that. But in verse 24, it says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." So Jesus showed up. Now here's Thomas is missing right there. Thomas kind of points that out. I mean, you know, it's in the Word of God, recorded for all time. Thomas wasn't there, one of the apostles. I mean, here's a guy that Jesus had empowered him to raise the dead, heal the sick, lame, lepers, blind, cast out demons. I mean, this guy was empowered by Jesus Christ. On the resurrection day, he knew a lot, knew something about Jesus. He had seen some things, probably witnessed the Lazarus' resurrection, all the miracles that Jesus performed, probably a multitude of those he had seen in his life. And everybody was there at church but him. Everybody was at church but him. And for him and for you, I probably should have preached this on Sunday morning. For you, if you do lay out, it really doesn't matter who is there. The fact is, all you would know is that you're not there. That's all that matters. I had two people this week. "Preacher, I'm going to be there Sunday, man. I had a guy yesterday. Told everybody, told my son, my daughter, told me, said, "I'm going to be there tomorrow. I'm going to be there tomorrow, preacher." Okay. Did he show up? This is 100% now, 100%. 22 years almost a pastor, 100%. Anybody that tells me on Saturday that they're going to be here on Sunday has yet to make it. I mean, you are doomed. If you don't want to come on Sunday, just call me on Saturday. Tell me you're going to be here. You won't. You won't be here. Had somebody else talk to earlier this week. "I just got to make up my mind. I'm going to make up my mind, and I'm going to be there at church. I just got to go ahead and do it. Yep, I know I got to do it. I'm going to be there." They told us they were going to be here Wednesday night. Didn't make it. Huh? Gonna come. So Sunday rolls around. Didn't make it. Sunday night, didn't make it. I mean, can't get here, for church. And so it just really doesn't matter who else is there. If you're not there, I'm going to tell you what, and as an apostle for Thomas, and as for us as Christians, when Hebrews 10:25 says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, so there's a command for us right there. If when you're not at the house of God, when you're not there when it's time to worship, I'm going to tell you what, you're out of position. You're out of position, and you get in trouble when you get out of position. Then all kinds of problems arise out of that. I started thinking about it off the top of my head. I laid in there. I said, well, I'll go pick Sherry's brain for a little while. I went in there and flopped on the bed, and I said, let's think about this. I said, I was told her what I was getting together to preach on. I said, give me some help here with that, and some of them I already had. And I was thinking right off the bat. You remember the story, and I was looking at this text right here for a little while, the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Remember the ten virgins? It was five wise, and the Bible says it was five foolish. And it said that a picture of an oriental wedding. The way it worked was the bride would be at his house with his buddies, the bridegroom would be at his house with his buddies. And nowadays that probably applies. The bridegroom, the bridegroom would be there, and the bride would be at her house with the bridesmaids. And what would happen, there would be a certain time, and they'd never know when. The bride would never know when for sure. And then the bridegroom would come to get his bride, and then they would go to the wedding and all that, and then they'd go back to his house. So that was what the illustration was. And so they had the bridesmaids were there. They didn't know what time. They had oil for their lamps. They had oil in their lamps, but they also had extra oil in case, they didn't know how long. It's a great picture. A lot of people like to use it as a picture of the Lord coming back for his church, the bride, and you never know when he's going to come back and everything. But it says this, that there was five wise. They had their lamps, oil, and extra oil in case everything took a little bit longer. They could add the oil in there. And the Bible does say they all slumbered and slept, which, never mind about that. And five had oil, like I say, to go along with them, five didn't. And you think about it, well, how come they didn't have the extra oil to go in their lamps? Well, one, we could say, I think this is delay in preparation. How everybody says, well, I know what I need to do. I don't know how many people tell me that. I know I need to do this, preacher. I know I need to do that. But then they don't do it, right? I think that's the definition of a fool, by the way. If you know what you're supposed to do and you don't do it, that's a fool. I know what I need to do. So I'm going to delay. I'm going to put it off. I'm going to put off. How many of us do that, right? Put off to where we're running around like a chicken with her head cut off. And that's exactly what happened to them. Or then also, a lot of times, this is what we see in Christianity today. A lot of people just do enough to get by. Just do the bare bone minimum of whatever it is that they're going to do, for God. But here's the thing about it here. The Bible says that when they woke up and they said, hey, give us oil. And they said, well, we can't give you oil. We just got enough. You're going to have to go out and buy oil. And they went out and bought oil. And while they were out buying the oil, the bridegroom came. And then they went to the wedding feast, and then the Bible says the door was shut, and they couldn't get in. But what about this? What about if they hadn't left? What if they just said, well, we don't have any more oil, we're just going to stay right here. And the bridegroom came. Now, that's some food for thought right there, isn't it? Huh? Would he not let them in then? And it depends on how you want to preach that message, whether you're going to say, well, the oil is the Holy Spirit. But they had oil in their lamps to start with. Right? You ain't going to lose your salvation. We know that. But while they were off, the bridegroom came. I think it's a good illustration of, you just don't know what you're going to miss out. Man, when something's going on with God and God's people, you don't know what you're going to miss out on. But you get out of position. You can miss out on so many things that have to do with God. God showing up. I think one of these, listen, I think this right here. If we just stay faithful, we just keep on preaching the word, we keep on praying. You know what? I think there's going to be a Sunday night. I think God's going to show up in here one day. God's going to show up, and then the rest of the people in the church are going to say, well, man, I didn't know what was going to, if I'd have known that, I'd have been there. If we'd have known all that, right? Huh? Hey, I think I'll tell them next time. I'm going to tell them the Brent Rochester group is coming. And then when they get here, say, psych. Just fooled you, right? Get a whole filled up plate. People parked out in the grass. Huh? Fool them right there. Yeah, y'all come on back. I just something like that. Jonah. Remember Jonah? Old Jonah, man. Jonah didn't want to He didn't want to preach. God says, listen, I want you to preach. Jonah went so far, he put himself out of position. It wasn't like which everybody actually does, but I mean, he will or went to push it. He said, man, I'm going to get me a ticket. I'm going to go to Tarshish. I think I read one time, it's like 1,000 miles away from Nineveh where God wanted him to go. That's a lot of people. They start running from God. God wants to put them in one position and they don't want to do it. And they start running in the other direction. And they say, man, I'm going to tell you something. If God's marked you out for something and he wants to use you, there's no running from God. I mean, God's going to get you one way there. He's going to beat you half to death till he gets you till you want to preach. Well, you know what happened to Jonah? Jonah ended up in a whale's belly. I'd say in a whale's belly, he's out of position. Huh? I don't think that's the place God wanted him to be originally. That's not where he wanted to be either. I'd say when you start running from God, you end up in a whale's belly, you got big problems. I mean, you're out of position for sure. But you know what? He went down, and then when he got out of the whale's belly, whale puked him up on the beach, man, down in Nineveh. He goes, he preaches the gospel, and guess what? They had a revival. They had a revival. That means Jonah was probably a pretty good preacher, right? But God was working. They had a revival there. But you know what? Jonah wasn't happy about it. No. He got bitter. Matter of fact, he didn't like the Ninevites. Nobody did. Nobody liked them. Man, them people were cruel, man. I mean, they liked to, when they would go defeat an enemy, you know what they like to do for fun and games? They like to flay you to death. Flay you to death is where they stretch you out on the rack and they just cut little pieces of meat off and say, hey, look, I got a little piece of your thigh right there. Huh? Let me cut off one of your toes. How about that? Just kind of skin you alive until you finally croaked one way or the other, bleeding to death or shock or both. You know, nobody liked the Ninevites. Jonah said, man, Jonah was upset that they had a spiritual revival. Now, I want to tell you something right here. It's kind of there's a couple lessons right here. Number one is, you know what? Here's a guy that his heart was not right. His heart was out of position. But God used him anyway to preach a revival that a whole city got saved. And that revival lasted. I mean, God was about to destroy him. And I think, just if my memory serves me correct, it was about 150 years it postponed the destruction of Ninevites by God, to postpone that. You know how it worked. They all got revived. Typical revival. Theirs lasted longer than ours. Ours lasted about 3 weeks. They went a little longer than that. You know, they got revived and they turned to God. And, you know, over the years, they started getting away from God and got back into their wicked ways. We accomplished in 3 weeks what it took them 150 years to accomplish. So, amen. So he was, but his heart was out of position. But God used him anyway. But you know what? Guess who wasn't happy? It was Jonah. Jonah's the one that's out of position spiritually, an internal position when he finally got physically in position where he needed to be, but he's the one that was unhappy. See what happens to you when you get out of position. Think about Abraham when he went down into Egypt. There was a famine in the land. I don't know why every time it was a famine, it seemed like everybody went down to Egypt just about. You know, he went on down into Egypt. God didn't direct him to go down there. Now, anytime you go where God doesn't direct you to go, you're out of position. And just creates a whole multitude of problems. He went down there, and you study that whole life of Abraham going down into Egypt. Well, first thing that happened was somebody eyeballed his wife. He got panicky about that, said, man, when Pharaoh sees my wife, apparently she was pretty good looking, said, if he sees my wife, he's going to kill me so he can get my wife. So let's tell everybody you're my sister. I don't know what that was going to solve. That was going to cause more problems. So he lied about his wife. And he even got called out by the Pharaoh. He got called out by a lost man for lying about his life. And then, if you study his life, you'll find out here was Abraham. Man, I mean, here was Abraham, a man that really trusted God. I mean, built the whole nation of Israel from his seed, right? I mean, this was the Father Abraham. While he was in Egypt, he never built an altar. That means he never worshiped God when he got out of position. Huh? Yeah. Never worry. You see, you can get out of position and not worship God. You can be like Jonah, be in here, out of position spiritually, and not worship God, even though you mouth the words to the songs. I was watching these two girls up here. I got to call y'all out on that. We were talking about like the faces of people while they sing, woo, huh? Man, I thought y'all was going to the funeral or something, you know, or it was your own. I mean, I mean, you know, hey, yeah, we're singing the old songs, but you could sing them with a little more joy, a little more pep in your voice, right? A little more excitement. I mean, sure, they would be better, right? That would be better. We could sing those. You can be right here and be out and not worship God. Out of position. You know, you're out of position in your spiritual life. Man, it never ceases to amaze me that how many of people that are church members and go to churches and that never even read their Bible. I mean, I get to asking about it. No. You're out of position spiritually. Pray. You know that the burden for the men, how many men are leading their family in prayer? It's unbelievable. The amount of people that, listen, Abraham's wife wasn't going to build an altar. Back in them days, they built them out of rocks and stuff. Hey, all right, get that rock and move it over here. She wasn't going to build an altar. It was up to the man, the husband. You can be out of position. And so while he was, he didn't build an altar. If you study that text right there, he never prayed. Abraham, a praying man, got out down into Egypt, lied about his wife, never worshiped God, never prayed. See, there's a steps to it. Because what happens when you get out of position, the place that God wants you to be, when you're running from God, and you get down there, the next thing you know, you're not going to be worshiping God like you should. I mean, you might show up, but you're not worshiping God. And then the next thing that happens, then you don't feel like praying because you feel like God's a long way off, because he is a long way off, and he hadn't gone anywhere, but you had. And so you don't pray. Never worship God. Out of position spiritually. But then as soon as he got out of Egypt, you study that, finally he decides to go back. He gets out of Egypt. As soon as he got out of Egypt, guess what the first thing he did was? He built an altar. He built an altar and he prayed to God. I mean, isn't that amazing? Getting back to the place. And how many times I've seen people over the years, man, they get away from God and they drift away and fall out. And, you know, usually what happens, you drift away from God spiritually. If you get out of position spiritually, it's not going to be long. You're going to be out of position physically because you're going to fall out of church. And then I can guarantee you, go back, find somebody that's backslidden, find somebody that's fallen out of church. I can guarantee you one thing, or two things, three things, man. They're not reading their Bible. They're not praying. They're not worshiping God. I mean, it's just, as soon as he gets back to the place, physically and spiritually, where God would have him, he built an altar. He's ready to worship God. He prayed. And so, I see a problem here. Old Samson, he's another guy. He got out of position spiritually and physically. Samson lived as close to Philistine as he could. He got right on it. It was a border town. And there's lots of illustrations about that. Just trying to see how close to the world he could live and still be one of God's people. I used to use this illustration about when the Israelites, and I know that God, when they traveled through the wilderness, they set the tabernacle up. And then all the tribes of Israel would camp around. They all had their places and all that. But I always kind of got to thinking this in my mind. This is just me thinking about how it looked. I think the people that were really in touch with God, the spiritual people, I think that they tried to pitch their tent as close to the tabernacle as they could get it. And I think the backsliders of the tribes, they tried to get their tent. They pitched their tent back as far away from their little group area, as far away from the tavern. You know, isn't that how it is? You just try to get away from God as far as you can, huh? Jonah ran out in the wilderness and tried to go away from Timnath, I think, is where he went. He tried to get down there, or it's another place, starts with a T. But anyway, tried to get away, all these different ones just, you know, kept trying to get away from God, get far away from God. Abraham went down into Egypt, those type things. And so Samson, he lived right up there. He was one of the ones, he got as far outside of the center of Canaan as he could get. So what happens, man? You're tempted by the world. He's looking down there. He saw a woman, one of the Philistines. We saw a harlot down there. Went down there, ran down into the world. The Bible says he went down there into Philistine and consorted with the harlot. Broke every Nazarite vow that he had. Wasn't supposed to touch a dead animal. Wasn't supposed to eat grapes and or drink wine. Wasn't supposed to touch a dead body. I mean, he did everything. Wasn't supposed to get his hair cut off. That ended up happening. Everything that happened to him. Why? Because he was out of position. All these other things. It was like a snowball effect. Of course, you know the end story. He ended up being blinded. And he was ended up strapped to a grinding wheel and all that. Then there's David, man after God's own heart. The Bible says God said that about David before he ever killed Goliath, before he'd ever done anything. He said, he's a man after my own heart. What happened to David? Israel goes off to war. The king, David, is supposed to be leading the troops. But guess what he did? He laid out. He laid out laziness, unconcerned about God's battles, unconcerned about the things of God. He said, I'll just send the army on down. You know, everybody, you know how we do. Everybody else will do it. It's everybody else's job. Y'all just take care of it. Sends the army out. He's laying around the house, laying out, not where he's supposed to be physically or spiritually. Of course, he sees Bathsheba over on a roof over there. He lusts after her. Then he commits immorality with her. And then he lies. And then he commits murder, has her husband killed. Man, you get out of position. You get out of position, man. This is a downward spiral here. Have you noticed here that everybody that gets out of position isn't spiraling in the up direction? They're going down. I mean, they're going down. They're committing sin. They're falling away from God. Everybody that gets out of position is things are getting worse and worse and worse in their life. Old Peter, get to the New Testament. There, old Peter followed Jesus from afar. How many Christians are trying to do that? Well, like Samson, kind of. I don't want to get too close. You know, I want to be in the vicinity of what's going on. I want to be in the vicinity of Jesus, but I don't want to get too close because somebody might associate me with him. And, ooh, what a bad deal that'll be right there if somebody says, yeah, you're one of them Christians, aren't you? And Peter, no, I'm not one of them. I'm following Jesus from afar. And then he goes down and warms himself by the enemy's fire, out of position, not up there with Jesus. And then a little maid comes along. Oh, you're one of them. No, not me. Oh, yeah, your speech is betraying you. Talking like, and then what does he do? He cusses because he don't want to sound like the world, right? Following from afar. That'll get you in trouble. That's out of position because that's not what God wants. He wants you to be close, right? He wants a close follower. And so then what happened to Peter? He lied. He denied. He cursed. I mean, everything. Here's another guy that he went downhill. And then we got Thomas in our text. And I don't know where Thomas was. I just got to speculate about it. It's significant that that's recorded in the Bible that Thomas wasn't present. I don't know who else might not have been, but it doesn't have anybody else's name. It just gives us Thomas, his nickname and his real name, and said he wasn't there. And I thought about it. I mean, maybe it was doubt about the resurrection. Word had spread. Maybe it was that same fear. They said they had locked the doors because there was fear. Maybe it was cares of this world. I got to thinking, I'm sure that everybody else, I think a lot of times that we think, oh, back in them days, they didn't have nothing else to do. They didn't have video games in those days. They didn't have all this stuff, preacher, I got to do in my life. I'm just so busy, man. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. They had a life too. They probably had more to do. They had to make their clothes. They didn't have Walmart. They had to make their food. They had to pick the food. They had to cut it up and cook it and do whatever they had. They had probably more stuff to do than we have to do. And then mama, and they had a lot of kids in them days. You had to make all the clothes for all your kids. I mean, they had a lot to do. And I'm sure everybody had something else that they could have been doing. I talk to people, never ceases to amaze me. I was just wondering about where people might be. And it's even the family members make up excuses. Well, they're just so busy. They just got so much going on. And I mean, they're just like, I mean, that's everybody's excuse, right? Well, I mean, how do you think you're going to feel standing before God and say, you know what, God, I didn't have time for you. I was just too busy. I had to go to work. I had to make money. I had to do this. I had to do that. I didn't have time for you, but now I want you to accept me. I want you to love me. I want you to let me into heaven. I didn't have no time for you in life now, but now that I'm dead, I'd like to come on in. I mean, I know it's not going to be that way, but I'm just thinking, giving you the illustration. I mean, we're everything I've got to do is just so much more important than you, Lord. It's just so much more important than you. I mean, really, that's what, it's just all kind of, everybody, listen, everybody's got an excuse. Everybody's got one. I know that. I mean, right now, look, we don't have nowhere near, we don't have the people that we had in here Sunday morning. I find every single person, every single one of them has got an excuse. Well, you know, preachers, what it is I got to, you know, I just got to go to work in the morning. Well, you know, I got the kids I got to take care of. You know, I'm just so busy. I'm just so tired. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. We're doing this. We're doing that. The grass need mowing. The cow need milking. You know, da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, they all had something to do, right? They all probably had something to do. I don't know. I don't know where he was, but I know one thing. He wasn't there. He wasn't there. But I'm going to tell you what, for the rest of them, nothing was more important at that moment. I mean, Jesus had resurrected from the dead, man. Huh? I'm going to milk a cow for crying out loud. Huh? Well, you know, I got them sheep. Remember that one guy when you know, when at the wedding the wedding feast illustration, he invited him to the feast, and one said, well, we'd like to come, but I got these oxen I got to try out. And another guy said, well, you know, I bought a bunch of sheep. And, you know, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. You know, I mean, like, that was more important than the resurrected Lord. Huh? I mean, really, you going to feel comfortable with that? So Thomas missed. He missed several things because he was out of position physically and spiritually, and we will as well. And those are the points I want to preach to you about tonight. The very first thing is he missed peace. Verse 19 said, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus, stood in the midst, and saith to them, peace be unto you. You know, there's nothing like living in the will of God for inner peace. There's nothing like living in the will of God. And, you know, we look at the world that we live in today, and I said something about it this morning. I mean, man, people are running up and down, to and fro. Everybody's overwhelmed, and it's like, oh, you know, we don't know what to do. We're just stressed out, and there's no joy there because of that. And you know what happens to you when that starts happening? You start making demands on people. Thomas said this. Like I always say, always get this clear. If you don't learn nothing else from me, learn it. There's excuses and there's reasons. They're hardly ever the same. And so Thomas said right there, he said, well, you know what? Unless I see the prints in his nails and the thing inside, in other words, Jesus, I'm going to put a demand on you. You know, I've got to see that before I'm going to believe. Then I'll show up, you know, maybe. Well, I mean, he put a demand on some. And then five foolish virgins. Remember the five foolish virgins? Well, you got to give us your oil. They're making demands on the other ones. You got to give us your oil. Now you see a spiritual problem there. Rich man in hell. Remember that? Rich man was in hell and he said, well, send Lazarus. Send Lazarus to bring me a drop of water and put it on my tongue. Send Lazarus to go tell my five brothers so they don't come to this awful place. Lazarus probably felt like saying, hey, what do I look like? You're errand boy? Huh? What am I? You're errand boy? Everybody's got demands. They want to put demands on you when everything isn't going right in their life. And that's exactly what, there's no peace. Christians are the biggest worry warts I know. Everybody's worried about something. Everybody's sweating the load. But the Lord had peace. You know, I wondered about this. The Lord came back and they were inside. He said, peace. You know, usually when something like it happened, it just would have been a close thing to say. Angel of the Lord showed up. He always said, fear not. The Lord probably had to say peace because everybody in there was probably afraid because they had all fled when Jesus was nailed to the cross, and now all of a sudden he shows up in the midst of them. Uh-oh. He's here. But, you know, he didn't say anything. He didn't say that about that. They were all inside, and the door was locked for fear of the Jews. But he said, listen, peace. He gave them peace, and I think that was, it probably goes into my next point. Thomas missed it. That word from the Lord, that word of peace from the Lord, he wasn't there for that. He was out running around. He didn't even know. He might not even have known about the resurrected Lord. Did he have peace if he didn't know? Uh-uh. No, he didn't know. Or he certainly didn't have confirmation because he already came back a week later when he did show up, and I'll talk about it in a minute, and he wanted confirmation from the Lord. And so he didn't have any peace because he wasn't present. And then the second thing we see is pardon. Another thing that you miss when you're out of position. Now listen, I know that we can't lose our salvation if we're really saved. And And like I said, I was wondering, the disciples might not have had peace because they were thinking, hey, in the Lord's darkest hour, when he was hanging on the cross, we all scattered and fled. And now all of a sudden the Lord shows back up. And I can imagine there was some people thinking, uh-oh, man, we're going to get it now. Man, you know, we're really going to get it now. But you know, he didn't say anything about it. Matter of fact, he commissioned them. Instead of condemning them, commissioned them, he said, even so, send I you, in verse 21. He said, I'm going to send you out. And I'm going to send you out. I want you to keep on doing what I've been doing. But you know, here's the thing. Thomas didn't know about that. And so here's Thomas. If Thomas had any fear, say he had heard about the resurrection, he probably did. He heard about the resurrected Christ. He's probably wondering the same thing. Because I don't remember reading where Thomas was at the cross. You know, we talk about Peter a lot of time denying the Lord. Where was everybody else? Everybody else had scattered. If you read that, if you study that, you'll see that most of all of them fled. I know John was there and Mary and at the cross, but most all of them fled. And Thomas is out there probably thinking, oh, man, the Lord resurrected. Maybe that's why he wasn't there. Maybe he's thinking, oh, no, man, what are we going to do now? Man, the Lord's going to be back. Boy, he's going to be mad. Huh? He's going to be mad. Maybe that was the problem. But the Lord came in. He didn't say anything about it. He didn't condemn him. He said, listen, I'm going to give you peace, and I want you to send you out like I came. I'm going to send you out. Thomas didn't hear that. He spent a whole nother week sweating a load. He spent a whole nother week worrying about what the Lord thought about him dispersing when the crucifixion took place. See what happened? This is what happens when I get around people all the time, man. And if they've been faithful and then they get out of God's will, they come in, man, they're just, you get under that conviction, you get under that guilt. It's not that you're losing your salvation, but you still feel the guilt. And you feel conviction about it. I think, David, you were sharing with that. He said, man, when I don't come to church, he said, I just feel bad. Well, you don't have to feel bad tonight, brother, because you're here, right? See, but if you had it laid out, you wouldn't feel that pardon that we already have. I mean, that's what it is. That's the whole thing. Well, Thomas missed it. He missed it because he was out of position. And then the third thing is there's the presence of God. Well, he missed the presence of God. For who knows what? Like I said, I think one of these days, the Lord's just going to show up in the meeting. I know the Bible says that where two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst. But there's sometimes when he's really in the midst, and you really know he's in the midst. And I mean, I think one time the Lord's going to show up, and somebody's going to miss it because they had to mow the grass. Oh, that's a real good trade-off. Missing the presence of God because we got to mow the grass. Missing the presence of God because we were just too tired to come down to church. Well, I'm telling you what, like the Emmaus Road disciples, they was all tired and weary, and they was dragging down the road, and they was ready to turn in for the night till they found out that was Jesus standing beside them. Then it said they went all the way back to Jerusalem. What happened to being tired and weary? That's what happens when Jesus shows up. And so I think the Lord, you know, and you're going to miss on the presence of the Lord. You're going to miss that for what? Rest. Lawn mowing, cow milking, sheep shearing, bean picking, weed pulling, you know what? I mean, really what? It doesn't matter. Fill in the blank. Making more money, is it going to be worth it? Is it really going to be worth it to miss the presence of the Lord? No, it's not going to be worth it, but people can't see that. They missed it, man. The Lord showed up in that meeting. Can you imagine? We're here, and all of a sudden, Jesus is like, comes on through the wall. Let me back up in case he comes. Huh? He comes on, walked on through the wall, right in the meeting. I mean, that would have been cool in itself. Just seeing that. We had the door locked, and he just walked right in. Peter knew all about it already because it already happened with him. Well, no, maybe it hadn't happened. Hadn't happened. Walked right on in. So he missed out on that. Listen, there's no substitute for the presence of God. Now, if two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Where is the Lord when you're laying at home picking beans? Well, if I'm saved, he's dwelling here. I know, but you don't know it. You don't know it. They knew it. They knew he was there. And so there's no substitute for that. And people are looking for substitutes for a relationship with Christ, but they can't find it. And it could be anything, man. It could be I'm drink. I'm going to do drugs, I'm going to have affairs, I'm going to make more money, I'm going to buy more toys, I'm going to go on more vacations, I'm just going to feel self, 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 I'm just going to feel it all, and that's going to be a substitute for Christ. No, and they still feel lonely, empty, hollow, everything that I talked about this morning is still missing. There's no substitute for that. And then the Bible says there, that he breathed on them. And this verse here always, I never can, I read the commentaries, and I'm trying to get somebody to comment, and this is what you find out by reading commentaries. If they know something about it, they'll talk about it. If they don't know nothing, they don't say nothing about it. And I'm trying to think, see, this is before Pentecost. And I heard some lame explanation one time, and I didn't buy it. Well, he breathed on them in anticipation of Pentecost when they were going to receive the Holy Ghost. No, he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, and he breathed on them. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, that's the breath of life that Jesus gave them. Man, he empowered them a little bit earlier with the Holy Spirit. Now, it may not have been a permanent possession for them right at this second. I don't know. It may have been, but I know the church was empowered on the day of Pentecost. I understand that. But that's just a little bit of a deep verse when you get to thinking about it, because it was ahead of Pentecost that he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you what, anywhere Jesus shows up and he says, listen, I'm going to breathe on you and you receive the Holy Ghost, I mean a filling of the Holy Ghost, because we got him. That's a revival right there. Huh? That's a revival meeting right there. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, I don't know if they had song leader, but I bet you they did start singing. They started singing something. Huh? I mean, man, that God, that and can you imagine? You found out what? The Lord showed up. I wasn't there. I was milking the cow. And the Lord showed up and he breathed on you and you received the Holy Ghost. And you miss all that? Out of position. He's out of position and he didn't get anything from God. Listen, I mean, I doubt anybody that lays out of a church service somewhere is going to sit at home and listen. I mean, unless, you know, if you got a physical problem, I'm not talking about that, if you're bedridden or something. I'm just saying somebody that could show up. And they say, well, I'm not going to go to church tonight, but I think I'll just lay around the house and listen to preaching on television or preaching on the radio. They're not doing that. So you lay out. You're not getting anything from God. You're not feeding the spirit. You're feeding the soul, or you're feeding the flesh. You're feeding yourself. So you're not getting anything from God when you're out of position as far as the meeting goes. And Thomas missed that because he wasn't there at revival. And then we see proof. In verse the fourth point, proof. Thomas wanted proof that, here's the thing, well, I want proof. Well, if you want proof, how come you laid out of the meeting on Resurrection Sunday, first day of the week? How come, if you want proof, I hear people all the time, well, you know, preacher, I just want to grow in the Lord. I just really want to grow. Hit and miss prayer meetings and Bible studies and show up half the time at church. I just really want to grow. Well, it's not going to work out. How's it going to happen? He wants all this proof, but he missed the meeting that Christ showed up in. I'll tell you what, if you didn't grow in that meeting, you're never going to grow, right? Or people say, well, you know, I just want to know. I just want to, you know, I just want to learn. Won't come to Bible study. Won't go to church. It's not on their list. And I want to tell you something. It wasn't Jesus that went out running around. Thomas wasn't present here on this one, this meeting right here in verse 24. Jesus didn't run out of there and all run around all town and say, let me go find Thomas. Uh-uh. No, Thomas found out about it, about the whole deal the following Sunday, because you keep on reading that text right there. The following Sunday, when they had the next meeting, Jesus showed up again, and then Thomas was present. And that's when Jesus said, hey, here's the prince. You want some proof? Go ahead, poke your finger in there. Go ahead right there. The Bible doesn't say that Thomas did. Doesn't say that he did. I think he saw enough. I don't think he did. I think he just said, my Lord and my God. But Jesus didn't run all over the place looking for him. No, I'm going to go out there and prove it. I'm going to go out there and prove myself to Thomas. No, Thomas had to get to the meeting. Huh? That's a good point right there. Thomas had to get to the meeting. See, you see it right here in your Bible. It says in verse 26, after 8 days, again his disciples were within, having church, and Thomas was with them this time. He's qualified to be a member of Valley View Baptist. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you again. And then saith he to Thomas. He knew what old Thomas was thinking. Huh? He knew what he was thinking, reaching hither thy finger, behold thy hands, reaching hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, said to him, my Lord, my God. I don't know that he ever missed another meeting, but I doubt. He wanted that proof. He could have figured it out a lot sooner if he'd have been there the week before. And then there's permanence, the last little point. When you get out of position, you miss out on the permanence of your testimony. And this is what I see as a major problem today. And we see it in our church. Any given Sunday, telling David, we was talking about after church, 25, 30 people out every Sunday. Already got a list of people that's going to be missing next Sunday. Already got a list. And I know it's summertime and he got vacation this now, but my goodness, I hope it ends this winter because it didn't last winter. I mean, man, you know, this one's going, we're going here, we're going to Nag's Head, we're going to this and that. And, you know, this one's going out, this one group comes back in, the other group goes in and out. And I see people like that. They're in and out, up and down, all over the place spiritually. I mean, we can't get people who profess to know the Lord to show up for their own baptism. And then when the people that do show up for their baptism, they fall out of church before they get dry. It's the truth, man. I mean, they ain't got dried off from the baptism yet, and they fall completely out of church. This guy got some on the list now. Man, people know they ain't used baptizing and not even showing up. Get saved. I mean, that's just that's the world that we live in today. Permanence, man, that's something that's missing today. Sticking with it. Sticking with it, man. I mean, you know, no matter what. Why? Why does that happen? Because they're out of position in their heart. It's always a heart problem. It's always a heart problem. The outward is what we just see. Physical part is what we see. It starts on the inside. That's when, and it leads to the outside. Being out of position is going to cost you your peace. You won't feel the pardon. You'll miss out on the manifest presence of the Lord. You won't have proof for your testimony and the permanence of all the above things. You won't have that. You know, it's seek God. You know, seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's what we have to do, seek Him. Like I said, a great point. I mean, the Lord did not run around looking for Thomas. Thomas got the deal when he got back the following week, got in position, is when he got everything, that peace, and everything else that he missed, he got that. Amen? Let's all stand.